What does it take to grow? Experience and a mindset, right? I am very fortunate to have personally witnessed Ray Collision's growth, Charlie's Pizzeria, from pop-up and Instagram influencer to business owner. Like when I first met the dude, this dude was a postman. We don't even talk about that. Except we do in episode one. So if you want to find that out, go to whatsgooddough.com and search for Charlie's Pizzeria. But you may know him as just the dude cranking out pretty freaking pizzas. But no, this dude has a love for cooking. This dude has a love for growth. And we're just catching up. We are having a discussion about the growth that he's been on, this growth train. And we kick off the conversation not talking about the growth in his waistline, but the decrease. Because let's put it this way, if you are on the top of your game in life, in business, and pizza, it's all related. And so this part of the conversation is super important. And then we talk about what it's been like for him to be able to grow his team so that he can go and grow outside of his day-to-day operations and really work on the business versus in, as cheesy as that sounds, as many times as you've heard that already, this is the proof in the pudding. This is what he's doing. This is an amazing episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good, Dough?
I'm happy to see you back here, man.
Yeah. Great to be here.
Saw you a year ago, but we didn't talk on the podcast. 3-4 years almost now?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Lots changed.
Lots changed.
It's like, you look completely different from last year.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah, yeah.
What the hell have you been doing, man?
Getting old, brother. Getting old.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant it in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, lots changed in my life personally and, you know, business. Business, we're trying to, you know, I've been trying to expand. So, you know, expanding and growing a staff and growing staff relationships and having like staff like, learn what you've come to love.
Yeah.
And people are learning that and transforming it and kind of make it their own thing to love. That's brings like a vibrance, kind of like a, you know, a great aura about you and what you're trying to do for your own community and for people that want to eat your food, right? So that's a good thing. You know, I've also cut back on my diet over the past 6 months, you know, and then I've, over the last couple of months, have dropped like 40 pounds trying to get in a more healthy lifestyle, a lot of exercise, you know, so.
All natural?
All natural. Just some protein, some vitamins, you know, working out, eating a lot of like, you know, lean proteins and a lot of vegetables, you know.
How do you stay away from the pizza?
You know, that's a hard part. It's always a hard part. And especially when you're cruising by a place that you really love, or, you know, the artist that's making that pizza and you want it, maybe I'll have a bite. You know, you really got to limit yourself when you're trying to get into a healthier lifestyle. You know, I've, you know, battled some personal like health issues, you know, higher blood pressures or cholesterol or, you know, pre-diabetic, you know, I've had those things. So I've had to try to battle back and try to be more disciplined in, you know, my eating as a person. So
is that what turned the switch on for you to start getting in shape and losing weight?
Yeah. Yeah. That was the key contributor. Doctor said, hey, this is what's going on. You really got to get serious about keeping on track. So that's something we got to do.
And you just turned on the switch after they said those words?
Turn on the switch. And that's the one thing that everybody knows about me is that, you know, if someone tells me something, or I got to put my mind to it, and it's going to happen. I have a strong willpower when it comes to that, for sure. You know,
good for you.
Yeah.
I went to a doctor a few months ago, a month and a half ago. I haven't done a great job of getting the numbers down. I've lost a little bit of weight, but it's mainly the salt for me and the stress too, I'm sure. But my readings are still high. And I sort of accounted for the fact that I'm going into Expo, I'm competing, I got to taste my food.
Mm-hmm.
What have you done to help you lower that blood pressure? Eating, exercising, but then you also run a business and you do it in pizza. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to stay focused on obviously the task at hand and limiting yourself, like I said. So with pizza, we, you know, as of now, we're trying to grow and have a, you know, we expand into different arenas of business, we are, I do less experimenting and more pushing forward of our original menu. I know what it tastes like. I know what it is. I don't necessarily need to be the taste tester, the guy getting that salt content, like you said.
Gosh.
So I'm like, so yeah, no, I would love to. Who doesn't want some extra cheese on a slice, right? So I, you know, you got to limit ourselves, and then I stay pretty strict when it comes to exercise every day, at least 30 minutes every day, no matter what. And, you know, and like I told you, I eat a lot of fishes, a lot of proteins. I'm a huge Asian food lover. So anything that's Japanese, Thai.
Your pho pizza for the competition one year.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, that's fun. I really want to do, and I don't know how it would sit, is like I really love is Vietnamese food. It's one of my favorite cuisine. So I would love to make a Sicilian like banh mi pizza. It might be a little bit off the charts, might be real wild, but some people dig that, you know?
Non-traditional, baby.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
And so, interestingly enough, I remember you saying a while back that you know how your pizza tastes and you don't really eat them that much, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. You still sort of carry that on. And for me, my task at hand was I got to compete. I don't know how this pizza is going to taste, but hopefully after talking to you, hopefully after Expo, I'm going to be on that shit, dude. I need to.
Right.
We got one life, bro.
Yeah, you do. You got one life. Part of it is you got to live to the fullest. So you do have to try that slice and you still have to try it and you probably love it. So
yeah,
you know,
I got to try it. So I know that it like, you know, works with the judges, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. You have to.
Yeah. Gosh.
That's excellent.
One of the things that I do every day is I try to get 10,000 steps. I got a Fitbit recently and it's working. And now I enjoy walking and I'm a big promoter of health. I have my ups and downs, but seeing you, bro, fuck, you're doing such a great job. Yeah. See all your Facebook posts because I'm not big on Instagram these days, but I think our algorithm is much closer on Facebook for whatever reason. Uh-huh. See you post your end of dinner, Asian inspired meal. I see you slimming down and I just wanted to freaking take my non-visible hat off to you.
Yeah, salute to that. Yeah. And it, you know, and I post a lot of that just for my own, to keep myself in bounds. You know what I mean? I keeps myself on track and it, you know, it is kind of, nice to see, you know, people react to that. People want to see, and I don't sometimes know people want to see that. They want to see the progress. They want to see what you're doing. People enjoy and sometimes even get inspired by things like that. You know, people want to see that.
100%, so, 100%. And like, it goes back to that aura you were talking about earlier, is that when you're living in business the way you're supposed to, when you're living in your health the way you're supposed to, people feel that. They vibe off that. They get inspired by that and they take that on themselves. And it's like, holy shit, keep doing it, dude. Keep freaking doing 100. It because it helps. You never know who you're going to touch.
Mm-hmm. And you're also keeping yourself accountable in the same time. It's helping me keep myself in bounds. Like I said, keep accountable, you know, keep accountability on my own for me. So
what are some other things that help you build that aura, dude? Cause I know what you're talking about. Sometimes I don't got that aura, but if we could have more aura in our life, how do we collect it? What do you do to do that?
That's crazy. That's, you know, that's a great question. I would have to say it's one of those things would be I'm collecting love from my children. You know what I mean? They want to see me step another day. You know, they need me. They want you. You know what I mean? That they hold me accountable. Just my love for my children hold me accountable. So that keeps me going. And then that keeps me inspired. And that makes me want to inspire others to do the same thing. Everyone's got someone, a loved one, you know what I mean? That they want to make that positive step for. So, and I'm hoping that doing what I'm doing also would inspire them to do the same thing. I want to see somebody's inspiration. I want to see that. I want to react to that. I want to see you. I want to see Idrip, you know, show me what you know, what he's made of and where his love comes from. Where inside does his love come from? That's what I want to see from everybody. You know what I mean? Because then it's, at the end of the day, it's like one love, you know, everybody get inspired by that type of love. You know,
you're inspiring your employees by showing up to work every day. And I'm curious to know, like, what are they, how are they reacting to this Ray?
You call me whatever.
How are they reacting to this Ray that is just, you know, taking life by the horns and taking charge?
Yeah, I think it motivates them. You know what I mean? Yeah, I have a lot of, I have family that are staff. I have friends that are staff, and I have high school kids, you know, and they're not kids, they're young women, young men, and they take charge and they handle business and they handle it the way I want them to. How I envision what I would do is they are taking accountability, and we're talking 17-year-old kids, you know, standing up to adults telling, hey, we need to do it like this. We can't be putting out this pizza. We can't be doing that. Ray would not want that.
That's tight.
Yeah. They start carrying that same motivation. You walk with the swag. They're walking with the swag right next to you because they believe in you and I believe in them. So then you walk as a team, and then we're walking with swag. We got this. You know what I mean? That's the mentality. We got this. We're going to be the best no matter what.
How do you find 17, 18-year-olds, young adults with swag like that? Or do you take them as they are and instill swag in them?
Yeah, you do have to, at some point you would have to mold. You know, each person has an upside and a downfall. And how are you going to motivate them to not drift into a downfall? You know what I mean? To stay motivated, to stay strong. And sometimes it's just reiterating to them that, hey, we want to be the best. I'm not the best without you. I want you to carry that mindset. I want you to walk up and handle business just like I would. You know what I mean? And then you start from there and, you know, you build and you keep building. And you also have to tell them positively. You got to tell them what they're doing right. You got to say, hey, you're doing a great job today. You're putting out some amazing pizzas. The customers are happy. They're walking away. They're messaging me saying, hey, the kids are on the trailer and they're slaying it. They're killing it. We had the best pizza we ever had off your unit. You didn't even make it, but you made it. You know what I mean? So you made it in a roundabout way, but the kids made it with their hands, with their minds, you know, with their spirit, and they're motivated with
through your
love.
Training.
Yeah, yeah. All of that for sure.
What was it like leaving your trailer for the first time to a bunch of people that, you know, you thought you trusted, you hope you trusted, and hope for the best?
You know, that was, I would say that was probably within the last 2 years. It was the first time I've ever been gone. And the first time I was pretty nervous. I didn't even want to drive far. I probably drove a couple blocks and just sat in my car, just sat there. I'm like, should wow. I go back? Yeah, no, I do have, just in my own, I have a lot of control issue. So I have to like work past that myself, which is tough until you build trust. It's very tough. So I would sit down the block hoping for the best, and I would be calling them. I'd call them every 15, 20 minutes. And sometimes they call me still 15 every 20 minutes. Hey, well, this is happening. What's going on? What do we got to do? Well, you got to do this, this, and this. Okay. And, you know, and then remember this, because this is a good time to remember this is going to happen again. You know, you're running out of this. We got to send somebody to do this. We have to do this, you know? So, and then over time, over the last two, you know, 1.5, 2 years, I'm able to trust very specific people, kids that I do trust with my entire business. It's my livelihood. It's
my goodness.
It's everything. And, you know, you're trusting a 17-year-old to, you know, put food on your table.
Sheesh.
That's a hard part to relinquish. And over time, it has become easier because you do generate trust and they do put out good food. And I have a lot of, you know, regulars that would message me and say, hey, today maybe your pizza wasn't on point. Or today I know people that trust to tell me, hey, that pizza was amazing. You weren't even there. Excellent. You know,
at the end of the day, they are capable human beings, and we have to get over our own fears. Yet still, there are some fuck ups out there, I imagine.
Right. Yeah. You can never avoid that.
You ever have to let go of somebody?
I've had to let go of a few people, and it was never on, you know, bad terms. If you speak to, you know, the people that work for me, they said Ray's awesome to work for. You know what I mean? I train. You try to give positive reinforcement. Try not to bring a lot of negative in play. You do have to sometimes put your foot down and say, hey, that's not how we're going to do that. You know, we don't want to do that. Or, hey, we didn't do this today. We need to step it up and make this happen. You know, we have to make it happen. I can't do it alone. I need you. And again, that goes back to accountability. And they say, hey, I need to do that. And he expects me to do that. You know, you can't always be the cool, fun friend boss, but, you know, but they view me as that because I treat everybody well, you know.
You work in a trailer that has maybe how many staff each, like on a Friday night, busiest night?
It ranges and it depends on what we're doing.
What's the average?
The average staff running on a trailer is 4. That's typical, anywhere between 3 and 5, depending on how busy we think we're going to be. It can be from 1 person to 9 people certain days, you know.
So when you're giving that feedback, like, hey, we need to step it up, or hey, that's not how we make pizza here, whatever the case may be, is your approach to it to address it right then and there in the truck? Do you pull them out to the side? Do you wait till after? Do you wait till their next shift?
I think everybody, all of the staff kind of know me by now to where it's going to happen right away. Hey, stop now. That's not the way we do it. It'll be spoken to in front of everybody, but it's respectful. You know, I'm never disrespectful to the staff and they all respect me for that. And then like my manager or somebody else would be like, hey, did you hear what Ray said? We can't do that. You know, they all hold themselves accountable and we're all a tight knit group. So everyone has respect on that level. But we do address it immediately. If it's not me, it's the manager or another staff. You know what I mean? But we don't really run across those issues. They know we run a pretty smooth unit. You know, we take limited. We always do limited. So we don't ever bring, let's say, 200 pizza dough out on a Friday night. You know, we're limited. So we'll say, hey, every Friday night every Friday, we take 100, 114s, you know, 30 18s and 10 Detroits. We sell it, we're done. So, and it's always usually an even flow. Come through lunch, come through dinner. It's always the same. We also do that to limit waste, you know. And then we're taking the time on each one of those to try to put out the best quality we can.
Yeah, because once that dough ball is gone, it's gone.
Yeah, we don't remake more and have it available. So if my staff is wrecking pizza that night and they, you know, wreck 3, 4, 5, 6, hey, the money's going out the door.
We got to watch what we're doing. Now.
Exactly.
Yeah. How has that number grown, like, incrementally? Did it jump one day from 50 to 75? What did that growth look like?
Yeah, over time, it has grown. So when we first had talked, I was making pizza, doing pop-ups or doing right out of my garage, you know, down low, underground. Then I would make 10 on a Friday night, and that would just be me. And then I was over time, I would increase it. So I'd have 15 or 20 on a Friday night. And then as we're doing events, we would be doing more and more 50, 60, 70, 80 pizzas. And then we've gotten kind of comfortable in a route that I know my staffing and the amount of pizzas I do on a Friday, I'm kind of in a comfortable state, how I just gave the numbers a minute ago. I'm kind of in that comfortable state. So sometimes do we want to push it? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't sell all of it. Sometimes we sell out by 2 p.m. because off of pre-orders. It is a wild range and vary in when we sell out or even if we sell out for the day. You know, we try to sell out every single time, which we're always kind of close to selling out. We may have a few straggler dough. Sometimes we don't have any and we wrecked a couple and I'm wishing we had them back because we have to tell people we're sold out when we could have sold 6 more pizzas that, you know, went in the trash basically.
Do you like the unpredictability of pizza?
That's another terrific question. There are times where unpredictability is time for learning, right? So you never want to stop learning. So when it's unpredictable, there's a reason why. And how fast can you react? How can you learn from the situation that's happening? You know, so sometimes, yes, unpredictability is a learning process or to be had, basically. So I do dig it sometimes. Other times when it's high stress and you're trying to get every last pepperoni out the door, you know, then you're like, I don't want unpredictability. How come you didn't tell me this before? You're selling pizzas we don't even have. That's unpredictable. My staff is selling pizzas we don't have. I'm like, well, now we have to start calling people because we don't have the pizzas that we're selling. You know what I mean? There are wild times like that. So
that's super interesting that you said that it's room for growth, because my thought was, you know, sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. Like, you didn't think you were going to sell 104 pizzas on a Monday night, something like that, right? But then no, in fact, it's like the unpredictability gives you the skills to get to 100, to get to 200, because you're learning and all of that going on. That's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. At the end of the day, that's kind of what it is.
Let's talk about pan pizzas for a quick second. What are you using to press out your dough? I found out that whatever fat you use greatly affects the flavor of your pizza. And that is why the only brand I trust with my pizza is Cordo Olive Oil. Taste is everything, and other brands and other fats pale in comparison. Do you want to taste the difference? Go to cordo-olive.com using the link in the show notes. You can purchase a bottle there, or if you're an operator, you can get a free tasting. Just message me and I'll connect you with them. I'll leave my contact in the show notes. Thank you, Cordo Olive Oil, for sponsoring the podcast. One of the things pizza makers spend the most money on is cheese. Every time I have a catering event, cheese is my biggest ingredient cost. But what if I told you there's a cheese company out there that lets you earn cash back for every pound of cheese purchased? I'm talking about Baggio Cheese. And their Gold Club Rewards members receive their rewards card every month that can be used wherever Visa is accepted. So the more cheese you buy, the more you can earn. Literally, you get paid to use Baggio Cheese. Now that is cool. Learn more at Baggio Cheese using the link in the show notes.
With the dough limiting waste, is there a way to control that?
Yes and no. There are times you can control it. If I'm using stronger flour, so we need to start getting to experimenting when you start talking about that. So if I have a newer staff on board, I'm trying to hone in a little bit stronger of a dough. So let's say we're operating at four people, I'm not there. We have a veteran, let's say a manager, and let's say three newer staff members. So I'm going to run a stronger dough on purpose.
Whoa.
Right. Then we're going to vary the dough. The dough can change. That is a variable. That is variable change.
I like that.
Variable change. And I'm like, I know I'll have new people on board. Some of them might rake and scrape when they're trying to spin that pizza, and they're going to be ripping, raking, throw it. They're going to be launching with cheese sliding under it, and you're going to get rips, you're going to get tears, you're going to get a lot of problems from new, not seasoned vets. You get a vet in there. If I have a four-person, you know, staff that are all vets that know exactly what the process is, knows what's happening, then all of a sudden you start increasing hydration. You start
showing off a bit.
You start showing off a bit. Roll the dice. Yeah. We got this. Yeah. No worries. We might lose a dough tonight. We're not going to lose
that. The pizza's going to be on point.
But the pizzas are going to be a little special, right? Yeah. Other times, hey, they're still going to be special. They're still going to be good, but we got to run a little bit stronger of a dough for the new
That's
staff.
Interesting. That never crossed my mind.
You start thinking of that when you start throwing dough in the trash. You start losing money. Hey, what do we got to do here? We got to change something. I got three new staff again coming, and I'm on board. We're not going to be raking and throwing away. We're going to be launching and running smooth operation. Stronger dough, a little bit less hydration.
You lower the temp too?
We'll lower the temp. We'll run a little bit stronger flour and a little bit less hydrated, make it a little stronger, you know? And then staff never really have a problem with that. And you still get good performance. And honestly, 50% of the people buying from us prefer that. You know, everyone's different with their palate, what they want, how they want the pizza. Some want it strong. Some want a Neapolitan pizza. Some want it chewy and soft and, you know, scrumptious. I'm one of those guys, you know. So, but like, I like that Neapolitan soft and just like bread, soft bread. And you're able to kind of do that, so.
Did they give a disclaimer like, dough's a little different to regulars? Not sorry, but it is what it is. Do you have to tell your people that, or is it kind of just like you get what you get?
You kind of get what you get. Luckily, we run a pretty strong pizza operation. The fact that everything that you're getting is top shelf, everything we have is running as organic or is, We run mostly Caputo and King Arthur flowers. So, I mean, those are higher brand flowers. You know what I mean? We run high quality cheese. If they get what they get, at least they're getting high class ingredients. So you can't really complain with that, in my opinion. And that's just me, you know.
Is Kingman still in love with your pizza?
Oh, yeah. We hope so. We just actually, that you said that last month, we just won best of the best for the second year in a row.
Tight.
Best pizza in the city and best pizza in Mojave County. And on two different rankings for state of Arizona, we just received a number 6 by Ripple of Joy, and we number 12 in the state of Arizona from the Wiz of Zaw.
I remember that guy. Okay. I remember Kingman to be a very small populated city.
Yeah, about 50K.
50K.
Yeah.
Is there enough pizza to go around for the people there?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of pizza spots. You know, you can pick up a slice or a whole pizza probably from 10 different places in town that is not chain. So it's personally owned. And, you know, we try to support as well most of the businesses that try to do their best to put out a quality ingredient as well.
And you knew that going into the business. You've been there for, I don't know, your whole life, Kingman, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
More or less. Yeah.
So, you know, the city, you knew how small it was. Has that been a hindrance in your business at all?
No, not for us. You know, fortunately, people, know we want to be the best, and we're always hungry to be the best pizza we can be. No matter what, we're at in Kingman. You know, we try to be the best we can be regardless.
Yeah.
People recognize that.
Where do you want to eat today? The OK Pizzeria or the one that's striving to be the best?
That's it, you know. It's a no-brainer. No-brainer. You know, I'm going to go try some ramen tonight, you know, here in Vegas. So we're going to one of the best places that I like, you know, so.
Where at?
I like Ramen Boys.
Ramen Boys.
And right by the Strip in Las Vegas, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places here.
Are you interested at all opening a brick and mortar?
You know, that's in the talks and that's in the process, actually being here at the convention today. I'm starting to price out some more serious equipment in hopes that we can start moving in that direction. A brick and mortar is a big risk on a lot of levels for anybody, really. You know what I mean? So I'm always weighing my options on that. There's not a lot. Then you just can't close up your shop because you're sick. You know what I mean? A food truck or you got an emergency you have to take care of. I can close the door on a pizza trailer. You know what I mean? So
you can't close it on a brick and mortar. It just costs more.
Correct.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Your expenses are there.
Yeah.
Right.
Overhead, you got a lot of different expenses. And you obviously, being on a food trailer, you're limiting overhead. You limit waste. You limit basically everything.
Including sales.
Including sales. Yeah. Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. There's always variable change. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we are restricted. But then we also restrict what we do. So we have a cap on everything we need to get done. So, and I want to sell everything that we have that day, which we normally do. So it's in that, and then another part is for expansion. That's comfortability plays a major part. You get comfortable, you know, sometimes you don't want to take the risk. Sometimes you don't want to step forward. Hey, I'm comfortable doing this. I know what I'm doing with this. We strive to be the best. We have staff in place to make things happen. And everything is comfortable. Everything is scheduled. Everything is happy. Staff's happy. Everybody's happy. You know, start making changes. It's just, you know, a risk, so to say.
Do you see a world to where your whole team is so comfortable that you could just like leave your team running the food truck and then you go off and start the next venture on your own without them? Or is that too much pizza for Kingman?
That's another question. Too much pizza for Kingman. You know what I mean? We do well opening a second one in the same area, maybe even if it's a different style or anything like that, whole totally different ball game for pizza.
Competing with each other.
Competing against each other.
Against your own name.
My own stuff, or either that too. So I don't know. Me and my staff have really seriously talked about starting either a pho or ramen shop. So something, a whole different genre that we don't have. We don't have really anything in our area for that. So there is no... Can't go pick up ramen on Saturday night. So
aside from it being a food you love, how would you know that your city wants that?
Oh, well, that's just people beg for it.
Yeah. Yeah?
It's just social media. If I post it up, I can't serve it. I can't serve it legally. I can't sell it legally through my trailer.
Really?
Because My trailer's not equipped.
With
the type of equipment to do that kind of thing. Otherwise, we can make it happen. And I've had so many people just message. Everyone knows the pizza and they know the love that we put in it. So almost anything I put in with food, I try to put as much love as possible.
That's interesting.
So
it's not it might not even be about expanding your pizzeria. Maybe it's going horizontal.
Could be.
Offer
something totally different.
Yeah.
And you're not competing with yourself. And there's nothing like that there. It's something that I think about. That has, it'd be a high ceiling for profitability. You know what I mean? You got to start thinking business. I'm more in a business mindset now than before. You know what I mean?
I'm sure there's someone you can reach out to figure out if that would work.
Yeah.
Right. Someone's done it. Someone's done it well.
Yeah.
Most people that we know just focus on the pizza and grow that vertically. But I could see a use case for horizontal if you don't want to compete against yourself. I mean, that seems like the use case right there.
Yeah. There are other cities very close by.
Oh yeah. What about that?
Have the same amount of population, even more. I think like Havasu City and Bullhead City both have the same or more in population.
Do you take your truck trailer to those cities?
We take it to Bullhead City. We have a city license there. So we do operate there once a quarter, basically once every 2 or 3 months.
But it's far.
35, 40 minutes, not that far. With the trailer pulling it, yeah. If we started something that was set in a different city, like say Bullhead City, then we could expand into a different city and still make a profitability in pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, I'm just quite curious as to why it's just once a quarter. Is that, why not do it more often?
Kingman keeps us busy. I'm busy enough to where I don't have to take the extra, social media pages and the extra steps and the extra, advertising for, people that kind of just don't know about us in other cities. You don't have to take all the extra steps.
Given the, the options, did you consider two trucks versus a brick and mortar?
I have. That's heavy on my mind. And that's kind of like the direction that kind of at a standstill. That's the problem. I don't know what to do. I have 3 or 4 different options I'd like to do either with pizza or with ramen. And those are hard steps to choose from, basically. I don't know which is the right thing to do at the time. Because I kind of want to expand. I just don't know what to do. I got 10 years. So I didn't tell you a plan. I have all my business ventures and I have, all of my different expenses and things like that. Over the next 10 years, I'm going to either want to build so I can sell or consolidate so I can keep royalty and move because I don't want to operate probably after 10 years. So I have my own idea of living, on a vacation island like Puerto Rico or US Virgin Islands and living on an island and maybe opening like a slide shop just for like lunch, like 4 or 5 days a week and just live on the beach, like live the vacationer's lifestyle.
Why do you want to do that?
Who doesn't want to live? Who doesn't want to be on the beach drinking a margarita like every night? Who doesn't want to do that? I mean, I would love that. Or a glass of wine just sitting on the beach every night,
So I was under the impression that that would be fun. But as I've talked to more old people, it seems like when they do get to that stage in their life, they get bored.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have my mind kind of set on it, but you never know. Variable change, like we talked about. So it could be family members I'm all around. So it could be a sick family member. I wouldn't want to leave. You know what I mean? I might need to take care of somebody. It's just different things. My kids might need me around for something, or I'm like, hey, you guys are just coming with me to the Caribbean. They might like that too.
They could, yeah.
You guys can just run the slide shop on the beach or on the boardwalk, and I'm just going to go surf or something. I've never surfed, but we're going to go surf. We're going to learn. We're going to learn today.
you just want to get to somewhere that's more tropical?
I think so. That's the hope and the idea. So
you've been in Kingman too long or what?
Yeah. I've been in the desert way too long. Let's go somewhere tropical, Listen to some like Bob Marley, have a glass of wine, sit on the beach,
Interesting, man. I don't know. I've maybe you can make it work. People make it work. The way I see you though, you're a constant learner. I can imagine your brain doesn't stop. So when you're bored as fuck, what happens when your brain's turning?
Yeah, you got to find some kind of active activity, you know, something. My mind is moving constantly, you know, and that's because of business. But, you know, even before that, when I was a mailman, and my mind just would be processing fast. I couldn't stop thinking about the task at hand, you know, you're pushing forward all the time as fast as you can, you know, that same mentality with pizza, pushing forward as fast as we can. We're getting it done. I am nonstop from basically sun up to sundown working on, you know, it could be anything, cleaning, prepping. People, the lost art of cleaning and prepping, nobody wants to talk about that. Everyone loves talking about pizza. You know, I love pizza, but my staff's making the pizza. They're doing the fun stuff, right? I'm out here, you know, sweating, scraping bowls and trays and probably going to cry myself to sleep later, you know. So people forget the, you know, the forgettable tasks.
Yeah, the not so pretty stuff.
Yeah, and that's where my hands get dirty. That's where, you know, it can put a dent on your psyche trying to press forward or experiment or keep your motivations. Like we talked about, you know, you got to stay motivated to do the best you can. And, you know, things like that aren't the fun, you know, they're not fun. So yeah. It can set you back.
Well, the minute you get to a beach and all you're doing is drinking Mai Tais, you better find yourself an activity, man. Cause that brain, it's got to keep moving. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Right. They say, you stop learning, you're dead.
So. Yeah. 100. Yeah. I'll learn something. I'll learn to surf, bro.
Hey, there you go. You go. That's the next challenge. Yeah. That's a good challenge, man. It'll keep you lean, get some wide shoulders.
Right. Right.
Have some great heart, health.
Yeah.
That's tight. And
go dive for some, like, some sea urchin or some seafood, crack it fresh, and I'll be throwing it on a pizza. I'll still be making pizza out there in the, you know, backyard of some little place in the Caribbean. I'll still be making the pizza. Don't worry about that.
You'll make it work.
Just be like some, you know, clam pie, like, you know, Pepe's.
Talk to me about cleaning, dude, because that's one reason I don't want to open a restaurant. It's like, that shit has to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you go to a dirty ass kitchen, and it's just like, bro, you can't forget that stuff.
You can't. And you know, I'm on a schedule. I clean every day.
Is that what works for you?
Yeah, it needs to be done for me, for my my peace of mind,
yeah,
and my heart.
Yeah,
I know what is what the food and what the food coming out of the trailer. I know what it looks like. So I also need that trailer to be what we're cooking out of. I need it to be
spotless.
Need to be there, you know, spotless, exactly. Otherwise, it's gonna get there.
It looks clean from the pictures.
Oh, it's 100. It's I can probably see it. Brand new. If you walked in there right now, it looks like a brand new trailer. I mean, I've had it for a year and a half, almost 2 years. You walk in there right now, you'll think it's brand new.
So, what does your daily or weekly schedule look like for that? For maintenance?
You know, I clean every day. So I clean early in the morning. So normally I could give you like a little rundown on my schedule. I'd wake up, get up, kind of take the vitamins, old man vitamins, and then get to the gym, hit the gym pretty hard.
What are the old man vitamins? Because I might need to start taking those.
We got some multi, you know, vitamin C, B12s, you know.
Stupid. I hate that. I'm probably going to have to do it.
Cranberry caps. You got to keep that you track going.
Okay.
Anyway, so we do the vitamins, we get that workout going. Then, you know, I start making the dough for, you know, the next couple of days, depending on. I'm always making dough, always making sauces. Then I hit the cleaning before we open for operation. Then we hit the cleaning after operation. Now, during operation, if it's slow, staff knows what they need to do. There are tasks that they complete. So they stay up on it. So I don't, you know, I'm not staying up till midnight making sure the stuff's ready to go the next day. Mm. So and then sometimes I don't hit it as hard at night. So in the morning, I am hitting it hard, you know. So it looks new. The trailer always brand new. So once a month to once every 2 months, I have a specialty cleaner that comes in and gets their elbows real dirty. We're talking like floorboards, we're talking underneath things, and we're talking like the business, you know, talking about drains. So they get in it. So, and that they keep it spotless, and then it's easier to maintain when we do that. So we do pay cleaning, you know what I mean? It's not all just me. So I get that deep clean every, you know, under between 30 and 60 days, you know.
Yeah, but at least you prioritize that and you, you know, make that effort to pay the expense and do it yourself. And people don't Like I'm personally a messy person. Mm-hmm. And, but I, every 2 weeks, never miss, we have a cleaner, right? Because our life's already hectic and I'll clean up after I make pizza. Sometimes I'll leave it overnight and clean it in the morning. But that flour gets there on the floors. And I'm like, well, if it's a little bit, I'll just leave it for the cleaners. But if it's a lot, I'll clean it myself.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like my house is messy. I can't function, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like distracting.
It is distracting.
And so I make an effort. Like if say I got to get done, so I pay for it. But you know, some people, I've seen the kitchens. It's not getting done.
Yeah.
And so I applaud you for doing it.
Yeah.
That's how it needs to be run. At least that would be my standard for a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And that's why if I can't keep that standard or don't have the funds to make that standard happen, then I'm staying away from a restaurant for the time being.
100. It's important.
It is important.
Has to be number one. Has to be number one. You know?
Why?
We're talking cleanliness. We're talking about public health. You know what I mean? At that point, we start talking about public health. You don't want to make people sick, you know? You care. If you care enough about your product and the quality that's coming out, you better have everything clean that's being able to support that. You know what I mean?
Do you not want to start scrappy and not get the, maybe get a new oven, but like use stuff, not make it so fancy and avoid the investor route? Or are you heart set on investors?
No. I'm actually vice versa with investors. I'd rather not have investors. I'd rather kind of run the show myself, but being limited on all of that.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Can I do used and can I probably do it all myself? Yeah. But then you start looking at new stuff and then you're like, well, maybe I could pick that up. You know, maybe I could get an investor. You know, it's just so many variables.
Do you want to stick to your same style or are you going to up the Detroit if you go to a brick and mortar route?
Any type of pan and probably larger New York style pizzas like
20s.
Yeah. 18s, 20s. Slower bakes, harder bakes, you know what I mean? All those kind of things. That's the route we would go. I run a lot of Neapolitan right now on the trailer. They're 14-inch Neapolitans. They're a little bit softer. They got a little crunch to them, but overall, they're just, everybody knows what a Neapolitan is, or at least a Neo one, right? So quick and easy. But my love has grown more over the past year for a more structured pizza. So at least to give it to people, because a lot of people actually crave that. And a lot more people than I realize crave that. Everyone loves a Neapolitan, don't get me wrong. But when we start just doing the slices, one day we'll do slices out at all the factories. And we have a line 40 people deep on their lunch break, trying to grab a slice, trying to grab 2, 3, 4 slices, you know. So, and our slices are very popular. And now I'm beginning to prefer it. You know, a big New York style slice is just different.
You're making 18 inch for the slices?
Yeah, currently. I can't get a 20 inch through my oven door.
How many slices are you cutting that into?
That's 8.
8.
So it's a decent slice, a 9-inch slice. Most people wouldn't pick up 2 and it'd overflow like a, you know, a paper plate, like overflow pretty good. So, and that's and we offered a pretty decent price with like a drink. So people really dig it. It's really popular.
How do you choose your spot from day to day?
We have a set schedule these days. We do private events Monday and Tuesday for our local charter school that we do. So we do there all the schools for them, or 3 of the 4 schools for them. So that's already set in stone. And a Wednesday, we will open to the public always at the specific spot we go to. And that's also on our busiest day on a Friday. Thursday, we go out to our factory friends and they all come and get slices. Saturday's always kind of up in the air. That's like, well, what are we going to do? That's fun. Where are all the people going to be? Obviously, being mobile, we get that choice. Hey, is there a festival going on this weekend? Is there a private event, a private catering event?
That's interesting.
Saturday's just kind of like, let's roll the dice and see. Okay, well, no one's picked us up for a catering event this week. Let's go park at Dairy Queen right next door Dairy Queen. You know, whatever, you know.
Are there venues that are not good places to park by? Like when you say, let's park at Dairy Queen, I'm thinking like, oh, it's another food place. I would have not naturally thought of doing that. Have you experienced places where it's like, oh, maybe it doesn't make sense to park at a Target or something like that?
That depends. I guess it depends on, we'd always try something. So we'll try an experiment and be like, we'll park right by the Dairy Queen, or there's other businesses right there. It's like a little strip mall. So we'll park there and we'll see how it goes that day. What do the sales look like? I start looking at figures. Well, I'm going to work here. We might try one more week because it's starting to pick up at the end of the day. Try it again next week. We don't have anything going on. The problem with that is sometimes we can't get accurate numbers because, oh, this week we have to go to Bullhead for a festival, or this week we're going to Phoenix for a private event. You know what I mean? So
can you measure by day?
Sometimes. It's so much variance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when we do what we do and we park out like that, some days we'll have really low days and some days we'll have we sold out already. I'm like, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. We have to go till 5 or 6. Mm. Well, we sold out everything. What do you want me to do? You know?
Is there something that you do differently with your operation when you're trying out a new spot?
Yeah, I usually take our Friday numbers are our base numbers. So if I sell a Friday, not at our normal spot, and we sell a Friday's worth of food, it's a big day. It's a good day. A really good day. So typically to start something off, I might even take half that load just to test the water. Do we sell the half load? How fast did we sell it? Do we sell it enough? No, we didn't. That's a big negative. We won't do that again. So, and it's all just variables and how willing I'm willing to press for that day and where we need to go. So
fascinating.
Yeah.
When you get to a new spot, what are you doing marketing wise?
That's a terrific question. We have social in our hometown. We have a lot of different social media pages. So we have a Kingman's food truck tracking page for Facebook. So all the food trucks will post where they're going to be. And you got, you know, let's say 50,000 people there. So 10% of the population has that page that they can see. So you're talking 5,000 people on that one page. Well, we post like on 20 different pages in the city. You know what I mean? One of those usually trends or algorithm kicks in, you're getting the likes, the comments, people are like, oh, they're going to be there, shares off that one, just off one page. If you have 20 pages, one page is really going to kick in. Hmm. It's going to be money trying to sell. You know what I mean?
So you're trying to like spread it out there and hoping one of them picks up and gets that traction.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. Cool.
And then the only problem is a lot of some of the old timers, they don't do social media very much. So they were more reliant on, a lot of people still don't even know about us in our own hometown.
Wow.
Best of the best 2 years in a row, probably 10, 20% don't even know we exist. Mm. I got people like that all the time. I've never knew you guys existed. This is the best pizza I've ever had. Not just in Kingman. This is the best pizza I've ever had in my life. And I've never heard, how long has it been open? 5 years.
Dude, you worked for the post office. Yeah. When's that direct mail coming?
Oh, my man. I need to. Throw a little junk mail to everybody. Here you go. There's a little Charlie's, right?
You can do by zip code. Uh-huh. You could just do a whole bunch and get bulk discount, I think. Uh-huh. You look into that?
No, we sell enough to not, I don't have to force the issue. I don't have to pay for marketing. We don't have to pay for, newspapers, magazines, et cetera, because we sell what we need to sell. Just off word of mouth and social media. And unfortunately, not everybody has that. I don't know if that's unfair of me as a business owner to not put us out there more. As in, people bummed out. We didn't know you existed. This is the best pizza. And we could have had it 5 years ago, So people do get bummed out about it. They get bummed out about it. And we just have to reiterate, well, you're here now. We'll see you next Friday.
Yeah.
Come get it.
I would encourage you to just do a small sample test size. See if it works. Because I'm curious. I would love to know if there's a huge bump or,
Sometimes it's hard to gauge because we're selling, we're limited. So we sell all of what we sell already. So that would be a hard gauge unless we're selling out. What happens is if we're selling out quicker and quicker, like say on a Friday on our busiest day, we're selling, hey, Ray, we sold out at 4. Hey, this next week we sold out 325. I start increasing volume at that point.
Well, you could also, for your direct mail, make it pre-order, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if they're like pre-ordering and you notice your pre-orders go up, or if they're pre-ordering through a link or a code, you can track that. But no, I absolutely think you're right. If you're not tracking your marketing, what the fuck are you doing, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm always looking at my Instagram posts and seeing what the correlation is to the podcast. And so it's like, I know that I'm not wasting my time or my efforts or my energy.
Sure.
Because I could be posting on TikTok all damn day. But if no one from TikTok is going to the podcast or supporting whatever I'm selling or whatever, what am I on TikTok for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To go viral?
Maybe.
Maybe. Does that help in an indirect way? It could. Absolutely, it could.
Yeah.
But also, it just depends on where you're at in the journey, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
What's your timeline for the decision for brick and mortar versus a new spot versus a second trailer?
You know, I inside of me, I have a sense of urgency, but then my mind is kind of like pressing that back. So I have a sense of urgency to push forward to expand, almost like beating the next guy. You want to make the next move. You're playing chess. You know what I mean? In a business sense, you know, at the end of the day, you know, want to obviously dominate the market. That's kind of a bad thing to say. You know, we support our local businesses, but you know, you want to run, you want to be successful. You want to be the one running the show. You want to be looked at as top dog. You know, a lot of people do. Most people do. That's just human nature. So I feel a sense of urgency to make steps forward to expand. And the timeline would, if I were to do that, would be in the next 2 years. You know, I've been heavily considering it today after talking to some of my, you know, investors and some of people that want to invest and also other avenues, as well as looking at equipment. Obviously you start looking at new things, you know, like a kid with a new toy. You know, it's like, I need that. I want that. What do I got to do to get that?
Yeah.
So being here at the expo, it does develop a sense of urgency. It also, on a side note, helps you kind of rediscover why you love pizza and how much you really don't know about pizza. You
Expo's
know,
I was good at that.
Yeah, yeah. You just start realizing that, hey, you have so much to learn. You know, I learned so much from other competitors and so much from other businesses and people that are just selling things here. You know what I mean?
Brother, you've been so gracious with your time. I want to ask you one final question. There's no right or wrong answer. What's good dough?
What's good dough? Love, man. At the end of the day, it's all about love. You know, put love into everything you do. It could be your lifestyle, your family, your foods, your exercise, anything. Put love into everything that you have. You're going to inspire yourself. You're going to inspire anyone else around you. That's what's good though.
I love you, brother. I love that you're here and I'm so thankful.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Well, there you have it. My conversation with Ray Collision of Charlie's Pizzeria. Dude, Ray, my guy, I'm so proud of you, man. You're slim, you're freaking rocking it and growing it, and you're about to do even bigger things, man. I'm just so honored to have met you early on in the journey. I am so honored to have the opportunity to sit down with you again, and I'm going to be honored when we sit down again in the future to just discuss where you're at. Keep it up, my friend. To you, the listener, come on. There is no freaking way you're not loving this episode, so please do me this one quick favor. Reach out to Ray. Let him know what's good dough. Social media handles will be in the show notes. I appreciate you. I love you. Till next time. Peace. Do you want a chance to win a $250 Uni gift card? Well, this is how you do it. Within the next 3 months, if you purchase something from uni.com using my affiliate link, send me a receipt. Each receipt that you send me, whether it's yours or a friend's or a neighbor's, will give you one entry into a raffle that will be giving away a $250 Uni gift card. That's all you have to do. All right. Happy buying and best of luck. And thank you for supporting me and my show sponsors.